RWAs. No, we're not talking about risk-weighted assets. We're talking about what some people term real-world assets. Kind of interesting. What are they? Why would we do it? Why would we bring things onto distributed databases? Hey, today I have a great guest. Sebastian Derivaux is here. He is the founding chef at Steakhouse Finance. There's a story. As always, you're back at Crypto Clarified. It's so nice to have you here. My name is Benjamin Dean. I'm a director on WisdomTree's digital assets team. This is the show where we sit down and we think about the digital asset space, its opportunities and risks. It's a fast-moving space, but it's so interesting. Those of you in the US, check out wisdomtreeprime.com, Android or Apple app stores. Hit subscribe and share. Podcast listeners, Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, I don't mind. Subscribe and share. You'll like it. And you can find me on the Bird app /X at Benjamin Dean. Before we begin, everyone's favorite part of the show, Sam and James in compliance. Here it goes, disclaimer time. Disclaimer, I need to say the following to clarify the views and opinions expressed in this podcast of those of WisdomTree and Steakhouse Finance and are subject to change. Anything we present in this podcast is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast, research, nor as investment or tax advice. The information and opinions expressed in this podcast are not a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any securities and reliance upon them. This is the sole discretion of the listener. Please remember past performance is no indication of future results. All right. Now we're cutting to the fun stuff. Let's go to Seb and hear about RWAs. Welcome to Crypto Clarified.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Now, Seb, you and I have known each other for a little while now, and you are the founding chef at Steakhouse Finance, which is up there with one of the funnier terms. And I need to, we had Kevin Lowick on the other day. He said, Wizard Sardine's the name of my company. And we did that because the Portuguese company registrar, they have these randomized words, and we chose Wizard Sardine because we think it's funny. Tell the listeners a bit about you, your background, and why Steakhouse?
Yes.
Because it's too funny to not talk about.
Okay, so sounds a good plan. So I have a background in data science. I have a PhD in data science. Then I worked for a lot of companies, from video games to insurance companies and financial companies.
Same.
Banks. Perfect.
We share that in common too.
Yes, exactly. And now we are in the same place, in the same podcast even. So
I'll yes, we are. That.
And it was during 2020 with COVID. I was involved a bit with crypto before, but I left when there was an ICO mania because I'm too serious for ICOs, I guess.
Good.
I came back. I came back during the COVID because it was a great macro setup for crypto and all that. And I dig a bit deeper. And I found DeFi, which was not a great thing in 2017, but was starting to get a real lot of work or thought or cool product. I mean, there was Uniswap, there was Compound and all that. And that was quite amazing to see. And I dig deeper and I found MakerDAO. It was a quite interesting topic for me and exciting project. And I started to contribute on the forum. At some point, I was getting paid because, welcome to crypto. You get paid by just writing on a forum. You don't know why, but they send you money. And so we worked. I started to get positioned there to work on a real world asset, which is how do you integrate financial asset from the real world to the real world as well, but a bit less tangible of crypto and financial reporting and trying to think, well, how can we make it more sense of the financial statement of those protocols because they are fully transparent on chain, but no one understands anything because there is a lot of events and it's very difficult to make sense of all the information. And so I created a core unit, the first decentralized core unit at MakerDAO. And after a few years going forward, I met a lot of great people. And at some point, we decided, well, let's work not only for MakerDAO, but for other protocols. And that's really, our mission was really, how can we build or help to build open and transparent finance? because that's what we were here for. I mean, at the end of the day, that's why we wake up every morning. And so with Mark and Adrian, my co-founders, we created Stackhouse Financials. And now why Stackhouse? So there is a very interesting story. We weren't very creative, so we didn't have any idea. And there was one meme that we were using quite a lot, because what we did, was to create information for all stakeholders. And we were always using stakeholders, and my accent, you might not see the difference between stakeholders and stake and stakeouts. And so that was a shift from all the stakeholders of a company to the stake, to the stakeouts. And because there is no Ike emoji for stakeholder in Discord, so we were using the stake emoji for stakeholders. Stake. So that remained. And just as a teaser, if you look on the webpage, and it's quite difficult to find it, but some people can find it. There is a link, an hidden link, to find all the restaurants, all the steakhouse we were all around the world, and the ratings. But that's an Easter egg. You will have to find it.
Listeners, Seb has just laid the breadcrumbs out to mix metaphors for you to find the steakhouses. It's on the website. It's there.
It's on the website, yes.
Now,
but we are open for vegan people and all that. I mean, it's just a meme at the end
welcome.
Of the day. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. So you've done all the Make It Ourself real. So they call them RWAs now. This is a bit confusing sometimes for the finance people, because risk weighted asset is RWA. Yeah. And now the crypto. You know, I used to work in cybersecurity. They used to get so mad because it's called crypto. And they're like, no, cryptography, cryptanalysis. Like, that's what crypto. And I'm like, no, that's not happening, right? Now, the RWA thing, can you explain a bit to folks like what this is? Because I see it. Of course, you know what I do. I know what you do. And this RWA thing is very interesting. Just paint the people like a picture for what it is. Because it's at least $150 billion now.
Yes.
Which came from nothing.
So, and I can shed a bit of history because, well, crypto people created crypto because TradFi is not good enough and it's fake and whatever. You can put all the explanation you want. And so they said, well, let's build all on-chain with code and everything will be perfect. Everything will be pristine. Because there is code, there is those assets that don't really exist in the real world. I don't know, cryptocurrencies, more or less. And we can build a financial system on top of it. We can create lending protocols where you can put your ETH, let's call it mini ETH, as collateral and borrow a currency that we create, which will let's call it DAI, the stablecoin. And you can use it. It will always be $1. More or less, until it doesn't. But that was the plan at the beginning. And that was a vision. Nothing from the outside world, nothing bad from the outside, everything pristine in crypto or in DeFi. And that was great. But then, I mean, if you think about it, what is the end game here? Is it to create a system where people which are already wealthy because they invested in ETH at $1 or $10 or $1,000 can use it as collateral to borrow the real dollars against it and pay in the real world? Well, that might be it, but is it really useful? I mean, I don't eat ETH at the breakfast. I cannot do much with it. I cannot buy a house. Well, I can buy a house maybe with it, but I still need a house.
You can do more now.
Yes, we can do more now. Although, interestingly, I was using a Bitcoin to pay for real stuff in 2015, 16. Now I no longer do it because we have stablecoin. So things are shifting a bit. And so that was the overall idea. But then, I mean, you need to think, well, businesses need loans and they don't have already a few million of Bitcoin or ETH sitting around because they want to do business, not a cryptocurrency fund. Real people need a mortgage to buy a house. And that's kind of, they don't have a few million of Bitcoin in their wallet. So that's not super helpful. Cross-border payments, same thing. Or if you may want to make cross-country loans and stuff like that, that's not something you can do with just a pristine system. And then that means we need what we call a real-world asset, which is stuff that is not already on-chain. And one thing that is the killer feature currently in crypto is a stablecoin. So some stablecoins are really on-chain. If you take a project like Liquity, nothing is from the outside. It works perfectly, except it's not at $1 most of the time, but it's not too far from $1, so it kind of works.
Okay.
But if you are using something like USDC or USDT, what you are actually doing is tokenizing more or less a bank deposit or a T-bill, but without the interest. And so that gives you a link to the outside world, to the real world. And even if you have something on Ethereum, if you are using Bitcoin, you are not using Bitcoin because Bitcoin doesn't exist on Ethereum. You are usually using wrapped Bitcoin, which is Bitcoin custodied at, I think, BitGo. And there is a tokenized representation on Ethereum. But then you need, you have a trust on a custodian in the real world. And so that was a shift we had in crypto those last few years, from the dream of being pristine to go to the fact that, well, pristine is not super useful because we need the real world to help the real world to be a better place and not just to be crypto for crypto people that cannot do much for the real world. So that's where the real world assets are super important. And so that was a journey. So I started to work on real world assets in end of 2020 for MakerDAO. And at the beginning, it was like, well, how can you, at the core of real world assets, there is always a legal contract. That's more or less the idea. Sometimes you don't sign it, but there's still legal grounds that are not smart contracts, that are real world. Someone give you a token promising you it will give you rights in the real world. And the question is, well, if you're on the blockchain, if you're a decentralized organization, you don't exist. How can you sign a piece of paper to have a legal agreement with someone else? Those were the kind of questions we had back in the day that we kind of solved. And a few years later, at some point, MakerDAO last year, so MakerDAO is kind of the issuer of DAI, and MakerDAO was investing to $2 billion in treasury bills. And there is nothing more. I mean, some people might say it's not real because it's you cannot touch a T-bill. It's an entry in a database somewhere in the US. But still, it's a financial asset. Usually, real world assets are financial assets. Sometimes you can tokenize gold, which is a real asset, but usually it's just a financial asset that is tokenized on the blockchain. And so that's opened a lot of new applications going forward. But again, we are still super far from the time where you can get a mortgage from your house that will be financed by the blockchain. That is in a few decades.
Now, I can already hear the listeners begging me to ask, right? And you know, we've done this for years, right? Real world. So you said this thing exists in databases. Lots of things exist in databases. Real world. So we're going to the real world and we're taking stuff that's real, apparently, even though it's not really real, but it is real. We're going totals all the way down here. Can you run people through a little bit then, like, why do this? Now, you've explained one reason, right? We want people to be able to have nice lives. They can get a mortgage, buy a house. They can send money to people in other countries. They can rely on something, trust something, because the income system is either extracting the money or it's opaque and exposes people to risk. Why would you bring assets on chain, which is to say, write entries on a distributed database that show, I'm answering your question a little bit, but like I look to you for advice. We're putting entries on a distributed database and those entries correspond back to something. And why is that better or why would we do that as opposed to running it on a legacy set of databases that run on COBOL and like it's a whole thing. Why would we tokenize inverted commas assets, right?
Yes. So there are two ways to answer this question. The first one, and you allude to that, I mean, it's running on COBOL, all databases, everything is complicated. I mean, for people that worked in IT for banks, getting anything done is complicated because, well, you don't want to break stuff. And even if you don't want to touch it, it breaks alone a few times a year. If you on the other side, because the technology is old, because it was complicated, and as I say always, banking people ask IT people to do stuff, and at the end of the day, you get something super complicated to do something super simple. And more, the more complexity you add, the less useful and the more fragile it is. And so,
more risk.
Yes, the more risky. And just, well, risky to have bugs and so on and spending.
Yes.
That's why you, in banks, you have thousands and thousands of people just to fix the database and make sure that nothing breaks. I mean, look on Ethereum. You have transaction every 12 seconds for the last. I don't know when there was the last time there was a big failure, but I cannot remember it.
Uptime is close to 100%.
Yes.
And good luck getting that from any legacy system.
Exactly.
Close uptime, 100%. Really? Not even AWS can do that.
No, yeah, yeah. And I just checked at the ECB payment system between banks. I mean, first on the weekend, it's closed because no one knows why, but it is closed. And it breaks from time to time because there is a lot of component and there is always one breaking per month. Maybe it's not a big deal, but still. On Ethereum or most blockchains, it's running every day and it's flawless. The reason is because it started from scratch, it's not too complicated, and you let tech people do tech stuff and they were super good at it. That's also the other part.
Yes.
Which could be an issue because then we have a super beautiful tech and it doesn't solve a lot of real world problem. And now we have to find ways to add the real world problem on top of it. But still, the tech piece, the blockchain, the settlement layer is way better than what we have in the legacy step. So that, I would say, is the first answer to that, just technological upgrade, a better sounder system, and so on. The other answer I can make on this one is just there is a paradigm shift. Before it was, well, you have every banks having their own database that were convoluted and complex. And then if you wanted one to speak with another, it was a big project. And then you have Swift, you have plenty of stuff all around. And there was a lot of discussion, even 10 years ago, about open finance. Well, the banks will have to open their ledger, and everyone will be able to use those ledgers, even without using the bank UI. Well, it moved a bit, but we are still not there. I mean, I always use my bank app because I don't know if I can use another one, really. So with the blockchain, we shift everything around. Because we have the trustless component, we know that every transaction will be valid according to the rules of the smart contract. Well, I can have my money, let's say, in a stable coin, let's say USDC, and I don't have to ask Circle or use a Circle app to move USDC from my wallet to another wallet, which is mine as well, or another party, person. I can pay a bill without asking anything and not using any app from my bank. I don't have to use a Visa. I can just make a transaction. And what is interesting is that even if you are in another country, even if you want to use another stablecoin provider, I can just use a DeFi exchange and I will swap USDC for whatever currency you like. Let's call it PayPal USD. I will use a DEX in between. I will send you USDC. You will get Pi USD. Yeah, Pi USD is PayPal stablecoin. And we don't have to deal with any of the complexity of using banking app or the financial system that would probably take a few days, probably take a few fees on top of it. And that's what it is really solving, the fact that we can let anyone do more or less whatever it wants according to the rules. instead of saying nothing is possible, you need to ask us first, we say, well, you can do whatever you want, but there are a few things you cannot change. And the settlement layer is giving us that if I have some USDC, you cannot spend them for me. I need to give you access to it. And on top of this, you can have Circle can add a blacklist to remove some people's ability to trade and so on. But other than that, I can do anything. And that means that the whole world is creating innovation on top of it. And I think that's the real paradigm shift, is that instead of having the bank or the insurance or any financial institution to develop something, well, anyone can do it. So obviously you can go way faster and you don't have to ask compliance. You don't have to start with, well, let's make a big project. I don't know what kind of project, but let's say we want to create a decentralized exchange. Let's bring in a big room in a bank, all the project manager, compliance, IT, marketing, and so on. A few meetings later, you are still almost nowhere. It will take a few years. You can just say, well, let's break everything in small parts. And okay, every time you push one of these components on chain, anyone can build on top of it. And so it's a decentralized way of building a financial system that I think is quite effective. I wouldn't say perfect, but still quite effective.
Yes. There's another piece there that occurs to me. You've worked in insurance. I used to work in catastrophic risk insurance, cyber risk, computers break, the GRU's hacking you, right? And your computers are fried, right? So you and I understand this stuff. It also occurs to me that there's a piece here where, and it could go both ways. So let's run with the thought. Because it's a ledger, a distributed database, anyone can see it. You can identify where all the things are, cryptographically secured, public private key to sign transactions, verify that you're doing things. And yes, I did them and there they are. And here's where the stuff is. So we have transparency on top of the efficiency gains that you've rightly pointed out. Cost savings, time savings, everyone's nice, life is a bit nicer. Now, where it starts to rub up against the real world asset thing is that because it's an entry in a database that's cryptographically secured, verified, public private key pair, but there's something sitting on the back end, right? And this is where we can talk about DAI, we can talk about Terra Luna, we can talk about USDT, USDC, all other kinds of things, right? So on the back end, there is something that sits somewhere at large bank somewhere or in Gold Vault, not far from where I live, yes, in London. And so how does all that fit in? Because you and I work on this. We know the two pieces have to come together, right? On the one hand, you created more transparency. That should mean less risk, risk being an expression of uncertainty. But we've added this other piece in. What are your thoughts around that, which is how do you make sure the stuff on the back end for these real world assets on chain, how do you make sure that that's done correctly? And I don't ask you because we already do it, but your thoughts about that, because it's like the system is better than the one before. You've worked on it for 10 years, so have I. How do you think about that, I guess, is maybe the most succinct question I can get out of a jumble of thoughts.
Yes. You're completely right. And that's where the issue or the funny part, maybe not that funny, is people have built a trustless system for the last 10 years. And now we are telling them, well, you have to trust. It's a custodian. Qualified custodian or super supervised, regulated, maybe you can trust him. And some people in crypto will say, no, no way. But the rest of the world, you can say, and that was quite interesting because there was a lot of questions when we started to integrate T-bills at MakerDAO. And people were saying, but how can I be sure it's here? And you show them all the legal agreements and so on. And they were saying, oh, yeah, but what if Signum runs with the T-bills? Or we were also trying to find, create some Cayman Foundation. And there was, well, how can we be sure that the director, okay, is registered, but how can we be sure he cannot live with the money? So we find some solutions. But how can we be sure that he cannot steal? The answer at some point was, well, I mean, if you want to trust no one, don't work with those people. And we are a society that is, we need to work with people. So we need to trust a bit. And if you look at, so there was, again, a lot of question about custodian. Well, what if the custodians get a default in bankrupt or a bank? And you are like, well, but when was the last time a custodian was going bankrupt and lost your asset? Because if you have a custodian, the asset you deposit to the custodian is not on the balance sheet of the custodian. It's still yours. So you should be protected. Could
it's
always
meant to
be an
ring
issue.
Fenced.
Yeah, it's ring
That's
fenced.
That's the correct way to do things. You ring fence it.
So you can always say, yeah, but what if not? But at some point, I need to assume that, yeah, I mean, custodians don't lose your assets easily. And the financial system is built on it. And it kind of worked. I mean, there was a lot of flaws in the financial system, but custodian keeping something that kind of works. And if you look, it's interesting because we at MakerDAO, obviously, we try to keep everything on-chain because, well, custody is on-chain. That's for most crypto people, custody is on-chain. You have your ledger or whatever solution. But for a lot of crypto investors that are maybe more from TradFi or have a different set of needs, they pay a custodian to keep the crypto they have and keep the keys and so on. And you are like, well, mate, didn't we create a blockchain so you can keep your own assets and you don't need a custodian? And now you are paying a custodian to keep your assets and they can steal them. Obviously, no one will steal anything, I mean, most of the time. But that's where regulation on some topic like that could be quite helpful. Because the custodian can be supervised. And the idea is not to, it's not fully trusted world like the financial system can be, or fully trustless like crypto price pristine era was. It's more finding the right balance. And that's okay. Always what people think is, how can we minimize trust to the minimum core? And for instance, trusting a custodian that is supervised by a regulator, probably that should be fine. Trusting someone, not trusting you because I send you 1 million DAI that you will pay me back. Well, that's maybe not the trust that I want to take because you can run with the money or just go bankrupt or whatever. So we need to find the right balance. And just to finish on this part, if you look what happened in crypto right now, there is a lot of projects. You mentioned Terra Luna as well, but even more recently, people in crypto are quite happy to send money to a new project in hope of getting rewarded with points. And, well, there is no contractual obligation. Usually, it's just a multisig. There is a counterparty. It's not on-chain. There is not all the smart contracts that you want, not for all the projects. And people are happy with it, which is completely crazy to me. So, again, it's just finding the right balance.
Okay. Someone said to me a few years ago, it's probably 5 or 6 years ago, trust. That's the hard one. Adam Smith said you need imagination and cooperation in order for like us to have nice things, basically.
Yeah.
And essentially what you come back to is, well, how do we get cooperation and imagination? Well, there's a few ingredients, right? One of the ingredients is trust. And the parties need to be able to trust one another. So that they can cooperate and be imaginative and we get nice things. Here, it's just a question of, no, we're using physics and mathematics. You have a PhD in it, so I don't have to tell you. We're signing the transactions, public-private key pair, and I can see what you're doing. I know what you're doing. I know where thing is. I can monitor it, and we have nicer things. And if that involves bringing real-world assets on-chain, T-bills, gold, whatever it is, if it's using Bitcoins or Ether, so be it. The point is, and I like your point, it's no, but we're keeping an eye on everyone. Like,
yes.
And that's how we'll trust one another.
And what is key as well is that if you need more trust or if you are willing to extend more trust, it's an opt-in system. If you want to keep in the pure crypto and you will keep all your assets in ETH, maybe some a few projects that are fully decentralized and fully immutable, you will not have access to all the rest. But all the rest, let's say more open project, real world asset and everything, will have access to the core that is completely trustless. For instance, okay. If you are launching a real world asset, well, you can use Uniswap as a way to buy or sell your real world asset. And you can pair it with ETH or another stablecoin or whatever you want. But you can use Uniswap, even if some people don't want to interact with your project or your real world asset. Well, Uniswap is here. There is nothing no one can do. It's fully permissionless. So you can tailor your risk appetite to the extent you want. So I think that's quite important. It's permissionless, meaning you can decide for you to trust USDC, so Circle, to trust the real world asset issuer or not. That's your choice.
Yes. Permissionless, verified, yeah. Physics, mathematics. That's what we're doing. Now, Seb, we're coming up on time, unfortunately, and I know we could talk all day. Tell us about what you're up to with Stakehouse and what's happening in the near future. We close the shows usually by thinking about the future because we love the future. Yes. And we love building the future, right? What's got your eye at the moment? And there's a million things we could talk about. You can do top one, top three. I don't mind. But if we'd had this conversation 10 years ago, we might have talked about what we talked about today and now it's built and it's done, right?
Yes.
Of course. Question is what's coming, because we're building it and it should make people's lives a bit easier, to paraphrase Nikola Tesla. But if people don't do work and they don't think ahead, then we don't get nice things, and that would be bad.
Correct. Yes. So we spent quite some time those last 18 months on helping people launch tokenized T-bills, which is you take the more simple asset on Earth, the T-bills. There is plenty of them because the US government always wants to issue more debt. And usually not in the T-bills form, but on an ETF or a money market fund, because that's easier to manage on-chain. And to have this, to have people interact with it. And what I see going forward, what we are trying to do moving forward is really, well, we have those building blocks that are coming. Still early. There is... I think on the T-bills, there is around 1 billion issued on-chain, whatever you can call it, tokenized T-bills. But it's very difficult to do something with it, and not much is happening into DeFi with it. So the real next step is really to build the building blocks on top of it. So you have the tokenized T-bills. Can we build some decentralized exchanges using it so you can buy and sell easily on-chain? Can we create lending protocols on top of it? So we are doing one with Morpho to help people put tokenized T-bill as collateral and borrow stablecoin against it, okay, and make a loop and plenty of stuff. And obviously, the idea would be going forward to add more asset classes on-chain. So we started with T-bills as an industry. We started with T-bills. That was working well, again, as I said, 1 billion. But can we add other kind of bonds, longer duration? How can we manage the duration risk, the credit risk? Can we add high yield, emerging markets, equities? And then if we have those building blocks, we can create new product on top of them, derivatives, options, a structured product that could be quite interesting. And those will be built possibly in a permissionless and open manner.
Okay.
So quite a lot to do, but quite exciting.
Yeah. I mean, if it ends up with something that's faster, cheaper, more transparent, so less risk, more reliable as a consequence, and people have nicer lives, fantastic. That's what we've done.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing.
Yes.
Great.
And our mission is really
to have to have you here today.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Our mission is really to have the world financial system on-chain, and to have for everyone, every citizen, the ability to check what is on the balance sheet of all financial institutions every 12 seconds. Not as we have currently, maybe once a quarter, 30 days after the end of a quarter, in the summary form, that no one is reading because it's way too long and there is way too many disclaimers that are completely useless, but just the raw data on chain and everyone can see, well, maybe Silicon Valley Bank is a bit risky before it explodes like it did last time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Seb, we're at time, unfortunately, but we'll have you back in the future.
Sounds great.
The future. Thank you so much for taking the time today. I hope all the listeners enjoyed it. Seb, always a pleasure.
There you have it, folks. Seb Derivaux, founding chef at Steakhouse Finance. I hope you enjoyed the show today. It's always nice talking about these kinds of things. Those of you in the US, WisdomTreePrime.com, check it out. Apple, Android, App Stores, Bird App, X, Benjamin Dean. You can find me there. We're talking about books. It's very interesting. And artificial intelligence and crypto stuff and digital assets and real world assets. It's all happening there. Expert app. Thank you for joining me, as always. I'm looking forward to when we see each other on the interwebs again next time. Ciao.